Hello. Good timing. Good timing. As soon as we go live, it just says, I would never. All right. Welcome to the next episode of Owlbear Soup, where it's the one after the last one, where we gave away all our secrets last one. So I don't even know what we're going to talk about now. Now everybody knows how to make the owlbear soup.
You know how to make it. You know what's in it. You know all the special ingredients.
Yeah. You just know all the secret ingredients.
Unbelievable.
But there is a movement, and I think I agree with this movement. I think I think soup needs toast.
Oh, right.
I think soup is more enjoyable with a nice crunchy piece of bread, because I mean, you know, it could be a garlic bread toast, mm-hmm. right? You know, you don't eat non-garlic bread toast. So I think maybe a little garlic bread toast. Oh. Or
well, now I want non-garlic bread. Like, so I liked non.
Right. So I like non. We could put non in it. I love non.
Oh my gosh, I'm a wonderful child, and I get cheese filled naan every single time. Just give me it.
I love the cheese filled naan.
It's all great. Right.
Well, everybody, welcome to another episode of Owlbear Soup, where we do a little bit of this and we talk about games. I am one of the chefs today. My name is Justin.
And I'm the other chef. My name is Rich.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for today. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. We got amazing guests. Gosh, it's going to be great.
Yeah. So I'm super excited about my guest specifically for reasons we will discuss soon, but I think, she will quickly become one of the fan favorites of this show, at least for reasons.
For reasons. I'm intrigued.
All right. Well, so our Pathfinder 2 game ended yesterday.
Oh, right.
It was the
right.
final episode of us playing Pathfinder 2. And man, the caption says, Rich, you have amazing gas.
You know? Yeah, I think that's true. Let's just go with yes and leave it there.
All right, so the end of our Pathfinder game, my prime character had died last week, but I brought in not one but two characters.
That's right.
They were the
I was
brothers,
excited by that.
right, they're the brothers Jasper and Dale. Jasper is a dwarven ranger who has a animal companion who happens to be his brother Dale. His brother Dale is a dwarf who can only turn into bears. And right. he turns into a bear. So Jasper and his brother Dale were ready for some rumbling.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I don't know why people let me play games.
It was so cool seeing them, because they came into being when I was asked to name some of my specific like superheroic agents. And I was like, their names are Jasper and Dell. Sure, cool. They're two dwarves, and suddenly they were they had great accents. They were gig workers. They worked all over town, and were also like my super like operatives that would go spy on people for me. It was great.
They were a couple of amazing characters. I love them so much. Yeah. And so I decided to bring them to life and kill one of them.
Right.
Yeah, Jasper unfortunately died at the end of the campaign. Also dying at the end of the campaign was our prime character. The character the story was around was Dorius.
Yeah, I decided to play a senatorial hopeful, like this country noble who came in to the chaos going on in the Taldan Empire, and it was. Yeah, it was very strange being in that role. I did not actually expect to. We're you know, the whole second book is you go take over this house and you pretend to be, you know, a bunch of country nobles yourselves. And you, Dorius, you're going to be the one in charge. And I was all the entire time like, please, no. please let anyone else be in charge.
Right.
So it was kind of a fun way to play a character. Yeah.
You were the sacrificial lamb at the end. You had to be the martyr to so that the rest of the village would rise up and be awesome. And
exactly. And as long as, you know, all the heroes are buried in state, you know, they get, you know, all that sort of deal, then it's great. You know, I don't mind character death a whole lot. I used to play, you know, back in college, the characters were, we're the fated, destined champions. We must succeed. But these days, you know, I like making a new character if it comes down to it. So I kind of wish we were playing again.
Right? Yeah. I mean, now we're going to have to get on the hunt for a new game to play on Saturdays.
Yeah, that's right. So, oh, my gosh.
But we could be playing Magic.
Oh, yeah.
We could be playing other things.
There are some games that we could be playing.
Yeah, like the Elder Scrolls game from Modiphius. So
look at diving right in.
I know. I almost dove into one section of the news, and now I've decided that I want to go into another section of the news, and so we're going to talk a little bit about Modiphius. We've been talking a lot about Modiphius lately. They have some really great games. One of the games that they do is they have a game called Elder Scrolls Call to Arms, which is going to be releasing in May. They are these miniatures I'm talking about will be releasing in May. They're the Dwemer Centurion and Ballista, and the Dwemer Spheres and Spiders. So these are from the Dwarven race, and they look really awesome. If you're a fan of the game, look them up. They also for the Elder Scrolls Calls the Arms game, they are releasing a Dark Brotherhood bundle. So you know, it's the Dark Brotherhood Assassins from the Skyrim video game. And it's that order run by Astrid and her cohort. So I think it'll be pretty sweet. It's the Elder Scrolls Call to Arms Chapter 2 Dark Brotherhood bundle will retail for $110, and you'll get a fantastic bunch of minis as well as a card pack, and then the Dwarven Centurions and Spiders. That's going to retail for about $56.
Gosh, that is so cool. I mean, as I'm leading classes with kids, Skyrim comes up so often, so I'm glad that they're making a miniatures game of it. I mean, I don't know that I'm glad for all the parents out there who now have to deal with this, but like, Skyrim is such an easy game to just get engrossed in and just play. Like, it's definitely not a 20-hour experience. It's easily 120, and I know a lot of kids really love it. Especially when you add that mod that makes the Macho Man Randy Savage dragons. That's my favorite one.
Wait, what? I have to go.
So the dragon heads vanished. They were replaced with the head of Macho Man Randy Savage. And instead of howling, it's just him saying like, oh, yeah. It's great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. All right. What do you got in the news?
Oh, my gosh. My biggest thing in the news, I think, is that we've been getting a lot of information about Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, which we've talked about a little bit, right? This is the first time in 5th Ed, I believe, that they have decided to dive back into a campaign setting and give us more lore about it, right? Ravnica's standalone, Theros' standalone, two Ravenloft books. It's crazy. And this book is wild. We got a preview of the table of contents. Lisa Penrose from DriveThruRPG, the DMs Guild, posted that and kind of talked a little bit about them. This is really cool because it's not just about Ravenloft that we know, right? Most people know Ravenloft from the Curse of Strahd campaign, and that is just one of the demiplanes of dread. There are many, many others, and this book is about exploring them. Taking a quick look in here, what do we got? Something like 20 more domains, all featuring unique, you know, characters, creatures, themes, settings. They're all different, and the previews that we have for those are different than Barovia in some pretty significant ways. Barovia, right, the very classic, like, Dracula's in charge, for sure. But they're talking about Lamordia, one that is much more like Frankenstein. There's more of a construction horror. There's experimentation. There are certainly sections of this book talking about the fact that there's going to be, like, body horror and things in some of these, and Lamordia will probably be one of those. Grim tales of this dark society where you have to, you know, adapt yourself in order to survive. There is an Egyptian-themed domain, which I'm very curious just to see how that gets tied in. I mean, horror, of course.
Yeah.
I just want to know what kind of horror will be in these ruined pyramids floating through the sky. And they also have Dementlu is the other one that they have previewed. It's more like the Mask of the Red Death or Cinderella. So like cursed court sort of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I like that they are building these out. Each one of them is given 4 pages or so to kind of like build what this is going to be. And that leaves you free to have your adventures in those domains or to like run through them. There's a ton. And then as well, lots of monsters. Tips for running horror adventures, how to use the Taroka deck and the spirit board, new lineages, dark gifts, subclasses. I mean, there's a ton of stuff here. So that's awesome. I'm pretty excited. I mean, this is basically the update for Heroes of Horror, which was one of my favorite third ed books.
Yeah, I was never a huge Ravenloft person. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking parts of Ravenloft and putting it into other campaigns. I think I'm going to enjoy this book. I'm pretty excited for it.
I just saw that one of my wonderful students is here, which is why I'm not talking about the Academy right now. So much went on this week, but spoilers. So.
Oh, okay.
Keep it myself.
So I'm not supposed to say that the answer to the puzzle is lion.
All right, I can rewrite it. I've got time.
Oh man, I love talking about minis. I'm a huge mini nerd. I love putting together minis. I love painting minis. I love all this stuff about minis. And what really got me into it was, of course, Warhammer, specifically Warhammer 40K. I left 40K and I went to go play Warhammer Fantasy, mostly because I loved squigs. I love squigs. I love
really?
Goblins. I love orcs. I love all this stuff. And Warhammer Fest 2021. So you know that's going on right now, or just wrapped up. They announced that for the 40K, they are releasing the Beasts Naga Orcs army set for 40K. So it's gonna have, ooh, you know, a mega armored war boss. It's gonna have some squigs. It's gonna have all kinds of cool stuff. And I'm loving cool. These minis. They're very, I'm very tempted to pick it up and go back to playing Warhammer just because it's like, oh man, I can finally play the weird orcs that I want to play.
Uh-huh. I'm kind of excited because I know so many people who love Warhammer, but I've just never gotten into it. And I saw the other day that there is an Age of Sigmar video game coming up at the end of the month, yes, which I'm going to be bugging you about.
I'm so going to be playing that. I'm super excited about that game. they revealed a lot of things, but there's a few things that really stood out to me, mostly because mini sculpts, right? Some of these sculpts are fantastic. This other one stood out to me is the new warband for Warhammer Underworlds, which is the skirmish fantasy size game. And this is the Elithane's Soul Raid. So it's a new warband for, like I said, Warhammer Underworlds, and this is going to be the first Idoneth Deepkeep warband. So that's a bunch of nautical underwater type of almost elven type creatures that are, it's pretty fantastic. They're pretty cool looking army or a squad to be playing with.
Yeah, I love in here in this description that they use the word soul craving elves. I don't know what that means. I'm scared. Yeah. That's scary.
I love the idea of soul craving elves and their aquatic allies. Yeah, so good.
Very cool. Well,
I want an eel,
you know me,
and an octopus.
You want an eel and an octopus. Are those going to be in there? Those are good allies.
Those are my undersea allies. Yeah. I mean, if I'm a soul craving elf, that's what I want.
That's what you would use. Okay. All right. I'm going to move over to my happy place now, which, as you well know, is Kickstarter. I want to chat about two of them really quickly, just to just talk about the ones that are catching my eye right now. Of course, the first one I want to chat about, though, is Eldritch Sands, which we will be hearing about in not too much longer, actually, when we talk to one of our awesome designers for this. Eldritch Sands is this project that is funding right now. They have just funded, I believe it was yesterday. The campaign's going for 20 more days. And to give you a very quick preview, if you were looking for like sci-fi to get added to your fantasy, I feel like this is a perfect union of themes that makes me really excited mm-hmm. to try something a little bit different in D&D.
Nice.
We'll be talking about it a whole lot more once Florian and I get a chance to start our interview in a bit. So I'll leave you with that, just that teaser. But I want to go over to another friend of ours who is running a Kickstarter campaign. This is Grim Hollow, the monster grimoire. This is from Ghostfire Gaming, and this is a company that's been running, I think this is their third Kickstarter. They all do pretty darn well for this series, and this monster book is going nuts at this point. This is, let's see, we have Sean Merwin, I think, is the project lead on this one.
Ooh.
Yeah, right?
I like his work.
Very cool, right? As well as, let's see, oh my gosh. Yeah, lead executive designer there for that one. And this is, I was very excited and interested to find out about this. This is where James Hake ended up going working at D&D Beyond and writing articles for there for a long time. He's now the head of Fables over here. So,
don't exactly
know what that means, but if you could have a title in a company, head of Fables is a pretty good one. So,
yeah, I'm gonna ask in my next review if I can change my my title to head of Fables.
I like it. what was I gonna say? This one also, I love getting in here at these PDF levels just to check them out and see what the project is about. And for this one, the PDF I believe is $25. And of course it's one of these big buffet style Kickstarters. So you've got card boxes, you've got miniatures, you've got cool little like thematic items in here. So if you want to check out a huge Kickstarter that's going very well right now, Grim Hollow could be it.
Awesome. I don't spend too much time in the Kickstarter realm, but there is a realm that I've started to dig into a little bit more lately, and that's Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
I've started playing Magic the Gathering Arena on my phone, and I just can't stop. It's so much dumb fun. So Wizards of the Coast is revealing the new product line for Magic the Gathering D&D set, or new product line, the Magic for the Gathering D&D set, and that's going to be in stores in July 23rd. I'm looking forward to this because they've already introduced quests cards. And so it just seems like, you know, the perfect thing to kind of toss in here is some, you know, those quest cards and make really interesting decks that build off these. So hopefully that will be something I can do.
Right. That's a thing that I like in Hearthstone. So I'm excited to see them transfer into Magic. I don't actually know if they do have quests already. That's great.
Oh, yeah, they do. They're great.
Oh,
they're so
I've been
much
out
fun.
Of it.
Yeah, you have been out of it. This is why I've been trying to get you to play. Of course, there's going to be your draft booster packs, your regular booster packs. They will be having the, of course, your D&D Forgotten Realms bundle. The bundle will have 10 packs of cards, 20 foil lands, 20 non-foil lands, and a 20-sided countdown die. And 3 oversized dungeons cards. Dungeon cards are a new and flavorful aspect of this set. And I'm pretty excited about that. Of course, there's going to be your commander decks and, you know, just a pre-release pack, which has like 22 packs and or it comes out 20. The 22nd has 6 packs as well as the different foils and all that jazz. We're not done. There's more Magic the Gathering news.
Okay.
Starting May 28th, in the U.S. at least, the in-store play suspension for Magic the Gathering will end. They're shooting for May 28th. They think that it is safe to start slowly bringing people back into stores as they get vaccinated to play some Magic the Gathering in person. And I'm sure that there will still be like mask restrictions and all that stuff. But
Hey,
I'm looking forward to playing, you know, seeing some people playing Magic again, helping out some of the local stores and, you know, let's do it. Let's game.
Right. I mean, that's a really good point. It's just game stores without Magic it's such a huge blow to just their revenue structures. So I guess I am glad that this is coming back and they've just said, this is the date. Let's go.
Yeah. Still in Wizards of the Coast news, a specific spell that has been called way too powerful.
This is unbelievable.
Making its way back in. Counterspell will be legal in Magic the Gathering's modern format with Modern Horizons 2, which is released on June 11th. Yeah, I'm kind of interested on how this is going to roll out whenever people can start playing Counterspell again. That's a wild card.
There was two mana counter spell.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Done. Yeah.
Going right. And it's any spell, the most powerful counter spell there is. I guess outside of Force of Will, I went once and covered like one of those huge tournaments in Portland. That's the one where you can cast it with your life force, I think, like instead of using mana. So it would seal a lot of like high end tournament play. You'd use all your mana super and you'd have these like free cards like, oh, I used lose three life. Fine, whatever. But other than that, Counterspell is good. And it's cool because it's a classic, right? I want classic cards coming back. I want to break out some Scheherazades and some of these old like alpha cards.
Let's be honest, exactly. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm pretty excited for that card to make a comeback. But we're not done with Wizards of the Coast because G4 TV and Wizards of the Coast are teaming up to stream D&D Live 2021. You heard it, G4, right? The fact that you know G4 is coming back and they're talking about relaunches of Attack of the Show and X Play. And now they're also diving into the D&D side of things. Like, I'm pretty excited to see what G4 TV is going to be bringing for us.
I am too. I mean, they are promising again. Like D&D Live is well known for these huge, you know, amazing casts of characters. We had talked about going to the last one in person before, you know, stuff. Expert DMs, lots of content, like lots of people dressed up, lots of entertainment there. So it's a huge event. I am curious how they're going to put that into a streaming format for everybody. But, you know, they need to do this anyway. So here we are. I like that G4 is doing it.
Yeah. And the last thing I kind of want to touch on is Wizards of the Coast is putting out a series of plushies. Super excited about this. There's an adorable pink beholder. There is a fantastic displacer beast with a mouse in its mouth. There is a huggable, snuggleable mimic. And last but not least, there is the cutest and the best of them all. It is a little owlbear from from Icewind Dale. So it's one of the little blue ones.
Wow.
And I am super jazzed about these.
I really
enjoy them. So I'm looking forward to seeing these in stores and picking up these stupid plushies.
I really want to get the displacer beast and just turn it into a cat toy. I want to see how Marzipan deals with that.
just put some catnip in it.
And just set it right there and like let's have a battle. Let's go. Yeah. Marzipan can take out a displacer beast, let's be honest.
I'm looking forward to a snowy owlbear. I feel like I need more owlbear stuff in my life for reasons.
That's very cool.
All right. Well, did you have anything else before we jump on
I
over?
I did. Last thing I had was as we're talking conventions, I'm really excited about PaizoCon. It was one of the first non-PAX conventions I ever went to, honestly. And I'm excited that it is coming up this Memorial Day weekend, so 28th through, the 31st? Yeah, that's how weeks work. Mm-hmm. It's exciting. We talked about this a little bit. This is going to be like the big finale for organized play for the Pathfinder Adventure Card Society, which is very cool. Starfinder Society is launching their year 4 storyline. The Data Scourge. I don't know what that means.
I'm excited about it.
But I love PaizoCon because it just gives you the intro adventures like for what's coming up and then also like finales for everything that just happened. It's such a cool event. And having it all online so that you can play by joining Warhorn is pretty good. I think it's 25 to get a badge so that you can start getting in on these sessions. And they run just constantly, just all the time. There's second edition Pathfinder. There's first edition Pathfinder because we just can't stop playing it. So there's a lot of really fun stuff to check out. And I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I'm actually, after we get off this, I'm going to dig through there and see if there's any games I can sign up for because I'd like to play some more games.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, let's jump into this.
All right.
So, let me make a quick adjustment. But Modiphius, they sent us yet another PDF of another fantastic game. And there we go. Now we can see it. And
there we go.
I know. There we go. Now everything's working right. So the interesting thing about this game, and I'll toss it out, right? This game is called 5 Parsecs Out. This is a sci-fi miniature game. 5
Parsecs from home. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a sci-fi miniatures game that you play solo.
Right.
This is for war gamers out there, people who do war games, like, you know, you're going to just instantly understand this book. It's and then just for people who like collecting miniatures or terrain, this is a great way to dive in and use those items in right. interesting ways. So one of my favorite games, and I will always say this, is one of my favorite games of all time is a game called Mordheim. Mordheim was a game from Wizards, or not Wizards Coast, the other one that starts with W, Warhammer, Citadel.
There we go.
And exactly. And that game was a squad-based, semi-role-playing, competitive game. And one of the things that I really liked about it was each of your minis had like their own XP counter. They had their own
right.
powers and injuries and things like that. And they've brought a lot of that into this game. So there's these post-battle activities and you resolve all the action that happens. So if your character died, well, or you get to roll on a chart to see if they're dead, or if they just got an injury. You can do things like take your money from the adventure and buy new equipment. And they even go through a cycle of how to build out these solo adventures and right. just how to play it all. It's fantastic. I'm super jazzed about this whole thing.
Yeah, I really like this because like the theme that they start with is, hey, you probably have some miniatures, which is true for me, although most of mine are fantasy. but it's just, okay, you know, take those six miniatures, make a six-person squad. They run through character creation for each of them, where your characters can be spacefaring humans. They can also be aliens or potentially robots of some kind. As you're headed out here, your stranger characters can get even wilder. There's a whole bunch of different backgrounds. And they all just kind of modify your basic stats at the start. They give you slightly different loadouts. And then you just get out into the world. I think it's quick. It's very cool the way they have it set up. And I like that it's tables, honestly. I mean, like you, I'm a big fan of Warhammer Quest. So I love just the, like, I want this. I'm going to roll on this table and see what happens. And it fits very well with the solo style of play that I assume that we're looking at here.
Yeah. Another thing that they do really well, and this is definitely something that's done really well in war games specifically, and I think a lot of RPGs and tabletop RPGs could learn a little from this, and it's the way that they set up the diagrams to understand how actions in combat work and what constitutes as cover and how to look at cover and educate cover with the rules set and all that. Like little things like that, like, you know, we were playing Pathfinder 2 yesterday, and one of the issues that I have with Pathfinder 2 is the density of everything. Like everything is so hard to find, and there's so many rules, and a lot of it's great, but you know, that is one of the things, right? And this book does a really good job of laying out the rules so that you understand them. So that if you have questions like, all right, so is this an action that has to happen, or is this an action I can choose to happen, or is this can I react, or how does this all work? They have really good diagrams, and it makes this book more readable and more enjoyable for me. Mm-hmm. But I will say I'm a war gamer, probably more than I am a RPG guy. It's pretty close, right? But this game does a really good job of laying everything out.
It does.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game. It's well done. I'm super excited about this.
Yeah. And I like that, you know, if I were jumping into this, I would be like, well, how am I going to create the other team? Who am I fighting? What's going on here? This does a good job of setting up like what the winning conditions are for you. It talks about battles. It allows you to determine what deployment condition you are under just with simple die rolls. So it is possible, you know, if you are doing a quest style mission on this table, It's possible that your game is like your deployment is delayed, so two of your random crew members won't start on the table at the end of each round. They might drop in, hopefully, right?
Yeah.
Versus something like the cutoff guard, where your characters are all slow. Like you don't get to be quick this round. You are surprised. And I love those kind of things because I don't want every one of these battles to feel the same. And if it is a solo play, I really need those tables to give me that kind of variety. I'm not ready to come up with all that stuff myself, you know, just decide, I feel like this battle is going to be harder. Let's. So it's all in here and it's really, really easy for me to read. And I, with miniature games like this, don't often know what's going on. So this is pretty fantastic. It's well written.
Yeah, they do in on screen right now is the conventions of the game. I love books that have this section so that you understand how to roll the dice, what the dice mean. I love so what they have specifically instead of using scatter dice like you might in a Warhammer game, you roll a d10 and wherever the edge of it is pointing, that's the way it scatters, right? So you would use scatter whenever you like throw a grenade, right? You have to see how off your throw is. And so you roll your scatter and it helps direct it. And I love that so much. It's
just
it's
very
such
smart.
A like right. It's just such a smart section as well. It really brings it in. Also the inspirations. There was I think two pages of inspirations. So things to watch, things to read, things to dig into if you're interested in the setting and see how you can, you know, expand upon it and, you know, bring your own flavor to it. It's just to entertain yourself, right? So this is a one-player game. I've been reading these rules and I'm very sure it would be a very easy hack to make this a two-player game. It wouldn't take much at all, and I think it would be a really fun campaign to run with folks where you get like four or five folks and you know you have like these objective goals that you have to do each session, and it's just like it's almost like a ranking thing, like oh well this week it's gonna be Justin, Rich, and Becky and they're gonna get together and they're gonna play in this setting and their goals are this and then you recap at the end and you assign experience and you build up your characters and I don't know, I'm in love with this style of game and I kind of love this game.
I mean, you just described Warhammer Quest to me right there, so I'm totally in. I love the I don't know what I'm gonna fight but I'm ready to fight it, let's do this. Roll some dice, see what happens, you know. It's fun. It's just fun.
Exactly.
It's quick, you know, consequences, whatever. It's, you know, it's a battle game. Your characters are going to fall apart. It's just the way it is.
They are.
Yeah, I love great. This.
And one of the things I do want to point out also is I love the art. So this is the one of the things that really ties a good book together is really good art.
Yeah.
Art that creates a feeling for the entire setting, for the game. And just for everything kind of around it, the art in this game feels very futuristic / cyberpunky, you know, where they're using heavy brushstrokes, where it's kind of hard to make out faces because faces it's just secondary, right? But it's just it's such a good like visual treat to go through this book.
This is the kind of book that has pictures of fancy space weapons everywhere.
It's a me Bondo says they never tried a single player dice game like this. Neither have I. And I've started building out a squad in it, and it was so far has been a really easy and enjoyable experience. I have enough knowledge about war games to go through this and look through it and see and understand like how the mechanics are going to work on the table. I don't know, Rich, have you ever played anything kind of like a solo, this style of game?
I mean, solo is harder. I played Gloomhaven solo quite a bit, just because I had to get it onto the table at all. I'm just going to have to do it myself. And so that one, I am playing two characters trying to go through these pre-written scenarios, complete objectives. So I see that. That's definitely a little bit less random because, you know, we've got models are set in this specific story and things like that. So I actually like the randomizers for those things. I love that this is going to give me that experience to just, I don't know, do kind of whatever the dice land on. And sometimes it'll be easy and sometimes it'll be super hard and we'll see how that goes. I don't know. This really calls to me as a very, you know, a positive looking experience. It's just laid out. All my questions are going to be answered. I feel like I'm going to know everything I need to know to play this game. It's a good book.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and I haven't played any single player dice games like this, but I have played both Apocrypha and a Pathfinder adventure card game. I've played both of those solo, and so it is enjoyable to play solo games. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to wrap this up within the next 5 minutes, because I know you have a guest waiting for you in the sidelines. When I played Plato's games solo, I can cheat.
right.
I wouldn't normally do, but like occasionally, like, you know, if I'm in the last round and I realize I played a card wrong last turn, I'm gonna fix it. I'm not gonna start over if it's gonna
no
me.
Way.
And I think that for the casual experience of playing a game by yourself, I think that's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if the game is difficult, right? I mean, if it is a game where you're testing your resources, Gloomhaven is one where you get these ability cards as you level up, right? And what you're supposed to do is get rid of one of your old abilities and replace it with a new one. Yeah, I didn't realize that. And I played it for quite some time and I was just getting all these abilities and it was fun. It was tons of fun to have them all. Like always have the right thing for the right situation. Okay, cool. And then I found out you weren't supposed to do that. And I didn't decide to change how I played the game because I was having fun and I'm not beholden to anybody.
Exactly. And that's one of the great things about this style of game is that you can play it by yourself. And if you know what, you don't like the way it's flowing, change it. But I will say in this game, there is kind of cool perks to having one of your soldiers, and they're not soldiers, one of your squad fall, right? Because that doesn't necessarily mean they're dead. It just means they're out of combat.
Right.
Sometimes they can come back and be more awesome than they were before, right? The specifics, but I think there's one where you get an injury and it gives you an increase to another stat because of the injury, or mm-hmm. you get bonus XP that you can use to kind of build up your stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like you can come really, back with cyber really attack. Yeah.
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
absolutely.
It's so good. So yeah, I guess to kind
cool
of wrap up
to
this review.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. This is 5 Parsecs from Modifius. And it's a fantastic game. Totally worth picking up. They have the PDF for sale on their site, and you could probably order it through your friendly local gaming store. I imagine they have a hardback version as well that you can get through those folks. Yeah. And all you need is this and a few D6 and a couple D10s and you're good to go.
Right. Gosh, I'm gonna have to try that out. I've got some Warforged. I mean, that's close.
Yeah. I can send you some terrain.
Okay, yeah. I'll just have cat toys everywhere. That'll be it.
Well, I mean honestly, like a lot of times when we were playing Warhammer as I was kind of growing up and everything, we would use things like shoeboxes and like cereal boxes and things like that to create terrain for us to work around.
Right.
So it's just your imagination.
Exactly. I will say that, you know, this is, it's very cool. I love the DIY aspect of that. I grew up playing D&D with Legos miniatures and terrain and stuff. You know, it was tons of fun. They didn't look like anything. it was fantastic. So I love this sort of thing. I want to play it with fantasy minis and just be like, yeah, this this tiefling with a battle axe, that's totally a Space Hulk with a huge rail
with
gun
with
or something. You know,
gun.
Whatever.
Yeah exactly. Right, yeah.
Doesn't matter. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, taking a quick peek in the green room, it does look like your first guest is ready. So without any further ado, let's go there.
Right. Whew. Well, fantastic. My guest today, Florian, welcome to Owlbear Soup. I'm so excited to have you on here. Not only because you are like in the news right now, but because you have been one of my favorite designers from the DMs Guild for quite some time. How are you doing?
I'm tired.
Yeah.
It's close to midnight here, so
yeah, right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join up. I know it's helpful because you've got your Kickstarter campaign going right now. I don't know how you sleep at all, honestly.
I count the sleep of that. Yes, I slept on a hand, on my one or two hands.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh my goodness. Well, gosh, I have so many questions I want to ask you just about you as a game designer. And of course, getting into Eldritch Sands in just a bit. But you have always struck me as a game designer who loves bright characters. You know, just the art that I see from your products is bright and colorful, and I love that. Is that one of your focuses as a game designer? Is that something you want to make sure that you're embracing?
I think it was never like a specific agenda, except for Birds of Paradise, where the agenda mm-hmm. to the artist was as colorful as possible.
Yeah.
But with the others, I think I just tend to like colors from everywhere because color makes life so much brighter and wonderful. And we have them. Why not use them?
Right. And it's a great, you know, it differentiates you very well from, you know, some of the grim, dark, you know, I'm in a forest and it's gray and it's green and it's black and it's dark, you know, instead these bright colors, these incredible scenes, you're seeing on the stream here, some of the character artwork from two products. One of the ones that Justin and I spoke about, a while back, Birds of Paradise, which is one of the, I grabbed that immediately as soon as I saw it on the guild. Of course. Let's start there. You're a longtime you know, DM's Guild author writing for writes the Dungeon Masters Guild, where you can put your product up and use their licenses for D&D. You get 50% of the profits, which is a pretty fantastic deal. How have you liked it?
It was a great starter because mm-hmm. like it gives you the safe space. This is the specific IP. This is the specific audience. Go wild with it.
Right.
Anything goes.
Absolutely. And you've done some incredible things on there. In fact, I think that you were the first game designer I saw who added stretch goals to as an idea, which is a very cool idea.
it was just because of the overwhelming support, and then I started to like, okay, I can't stop doing it now. I have to do it anywhere because I got so hooked. I think you're talking about the trash mob minis.
Yes,
a Patreon, go to his Patreon. And yeah, it started out like I was talking to the artist of my first product. Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to do something. I want to include at least one mini of the Wither as a thank you note. And
right.
We looked at two or three different paper mini makers that were already on like on the scene on Twitter. My artist pointed out to Trashmob Movies and said, you go with them. Go, do it. And luckily, he's responded. It was really kind of nice from him. And yeah, and a friendship grew out there from there, too. And so I couldn't resist like adding more minis to all the products I have.
Right. And so it's kind of like as those products do better, you've added more of those minis, like more of those characters as papercraft minis, right?
Yes.
It's just such a good idea.
It's also so nice because you can print them out, put them on your desk. Oh, you don't like them. Put them in a little book or trash them, but you don't have the repercussion. I trash now this expanse of plastic mini. Oh my gosh.
Right. And since, you know, I love papercraft because it means when, you know, the mini that I put on the table is going to be, it's the creature. It's the NPC that you developed, yes. Which is very handy. I can be like, that's who you see.
Yeah.
Great. Well, your product that we talked about last time is Birds of Paradise. Mm-hmm. And this is, I love Tengus. I love, oh my gosh, just let me play a bird folk all the time. And you went, like, just took it and went running, like, went wild, taking Tengus and Aarakocras, I guess Kenkus and Aarakocras, and just going wild with them. Tell me a little bit about that book.
So it all started looking at the Elemental Evil Player's Guide, and, like, and on the 5th edition, the Aarakocra get described as anything goes, like, from a macaw to just your regular singbird. I was like, no, I'm not gonna go with that, because then you look at the player's handbook and says, oh, you have this moon elf, you have those elves. And I was like, yeah, and why can't you do that for Arakurka and Kanku? And at that time, there was also like a lot of bird documentaries, especially one on Netflix narrated by Stephen Fry. Dancing with a Bird, I guess, was the title. And I was like, okay, I have to do this book now. There are so many wonderful, colorful birds out there, and people got to know that they exist.
There's birds that you have in there that I was like, I need to look this bird up. I have no idea what this is. This is amazing.
the research was fun. So fun.
I bet. Which one of those, I think, I'm trying to remember which ones I'm showing up here. I know we have the macaw up here because that's such a great image of the macaw with the spell book and the very ghostly, cool eldritch images. I can't remember the other one. What was your favorite one to write? Was there one that you were like, that's gotta be in the book?
The Pitui.
Oh yeah.
It's the hellish Pitui because, also of the description, because the local folks call it trash bird because you can't eat it because it's toxic. And I was like, okay, that's great. It's now a hellish toxic trash bird that's going there and being chaotic as it possibly can be. And I really loved that. And I also asked the other designer, because Katrina Bresnik is also on there. She did all the mechanics for that.
Uh-huh.
We have to go give credit where it's credit to you. And
I mean, absolutely.
And she, I think she likes the cassowary. Yes, the cassowary.
Ah.
Yes.
Very nice. Well, I will totally say, if there are people out there and you love playing Kenku or Arakocra and you want to see this wild variety of colors, you know, again, colors, you know, that the Arakocra, I think in the book, are presented as just, you know, just white or gray feathers, and Kenku are definitely just crows, right? So it's just this massive variety, you know, different. The mechanics are great. They are all built out in ways that make them all unique. It's just, it's an excellent book. It's a great resource. So go get it. But today I wanted to check in with you about your current campaign, which is on Kickstarter right now. I mentioned it earlier. Eldritch Sands.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. As soon as I saw it, I knew I had to get this. And it wasn't just because you used Owlbear as part of your preview, but... Tell me a little bit about where Eldritch Sands came from. Where did this idea come from?
So I think it started already 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, their first seeds had been planted, and I was like, okay, I want a D&D game with a mech suit. And the first iteration of my idea was using a giant stat block and putting it on top of the player with flexible abilities, so you can change it out, but first problem I encountered was like, okay, now the stats are growing. Okay, maybe just some stats are growing, but what threats will they face, and how will this translate into the whole fifth edition balance thing? And then I put it on the side a while, because then I was focused on Birds of Paradise and wanted to make it as colorful as it can be. but then I revisited, and I also wanted to add an element of error, because I also wanted to work again with Alex, who worked with me on Surfing the Scrush, and he is really, really good design-wise, and also with Jackie Lung. And yeah, I quickly messaged them, and like, okay, you have first dibs on this crazy idea. Where I go? They answered the call, and 1 week later I was first hammered out like the rough outline. This is the world. This is how it's gonna be. Then I again stumbled upon the thing: how will the players interact with the world and combat or their abilities? And like, and the idea for the suits again, Riotus has like, that would be interesting to have the suits again. And then, well, like, okay, maybe make it just like some armor, but it's the class now. And get rid of
right.
the old class and the new class. And I'm like, that's not enough. Like, just an armor. And I looked at the OGL because that's the beast you can use if you're not publishing on the Demon's Guild. You have some restriction there.
Right.
And then and one of the iconic beasts of D&D that is in the OGL is the Ölbeer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you show Ölbeer soup. I mean,
right, right. We so, cannot call the show Beholder Soup.
That's right. So, yeah, and I'm like, okay, yeah, Ölbeer. Everybody gonna understand that Ölbeer is just barbarian type that goes into your face, and if you have this Ölbeer Soup, the mechanics become very clear to you just by the name and looking at it.
Right.
You know exactly, Absolutely. Okay, this is what's going to happen with when I play this character. And then I was like, yeah, okay, this works. This works because from the visual, from the name, everything is clear now.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. So you have developed these suits, but the players themselves, right? They have the ability to connect with the suits. Is that and use this Eldritch tech?
So they're the players are similar to 5th edition, those larger than life characters that mm-hmm. have a power core installed in them that can power their suits.
Aha. Okay.
Because the power they're using is the Strunius Eldritch power that corrupts mm-hmm. other tech, and there was an incident with the mimic. And those players can keep this power kind of in check. There's a system that built in that we also have in the free PDF preview that's also on Kickstarter right now, mm-hmm. is that when you use your power, and you push yourself, you accumulate this Eldritch influence. And this is an entity that takes hold of you up to the point that this entity has complete thrall of you, and your character is basically a non-playable character from that point, which, like, it's the balance of risk and reward. And we made sure to make so that it will be a fun thing. So, for example, one of the things is you can always resolve your action even if the Eldritch influence table in the end says you become an NPC, because if you're going to go risk for the final blow, you should be rewarded and not punished.
Right. Okay, so let's see. So you are a person, you have this core inside you. You use it to power one of these suits, and I've seen listed the Owlbear suit, the Unicorn suit, the Mimic.
No, the Mimic is an enemy. The other one is the Imp suit.
Ah, that's right. Sorry.
Sorry.
And as you get these on, you're able to go and interact with the world, you know, powering yourselves, corrupting you as you go. What is the world like?
The world is a ruinous wasteland. It's an arid desert, and it's a statement of, like, global warming. Mm-hmm. I can't deny it because that's, let's face it, that's on our all on our minds, and I think it should be also, like, some of those elements should be present on the games. And yeah, so you interact with the world, and either you can bring it back the way it was, hopefully. Uh-huh. You can say, darn it all, I hitched myself to those guys who want to leave the planet. You can double down and say, Ooh. No, that's the world now. We're going to live in it. How it is, we make it as hospitable as we can, but not more. Or you go to those who created all those Eldritch tech and say, well, we're going to wizard the thing right up with that.
Okay, wow. So I love that there's the world, and you have, like, these goal conditions, sort of. Like, your characters can be focused on outcomes. I like that as someone who's trying to make a character, is I often don't know what my goal is, excuse me, in a campaign. And I love that you were kind of writing that in. Now I suddenly have, like, four goals that I could consider right from the get-go, and then the campaign could lead us, you know, through those. Yeah, that's fantastic. That's incredible. That sounds so cool. I mean, so different than the, you know, you make a character and go to Waterdeep. Now it is, you know, we're in the wasteland. We have this suit that keeps us alive out here. We're always in survival mode and trying to, you know, save the planet, escape it, or, you know, other options. How incredible. Your team is wonderful as well. So I wish you all the best of luck on this campaign. I'm happy to be a backer. I can't wait to get my copy. And I saw the link there in the chat. This is Eldritch Sands. You can find it on Kickstarter right now for the next 20 days. Yes. Like I said earlier, they funded yesterday, I believe.
And we hit some stretch goals.
Yeah.
We already have the Nightmare suit in. That's an additional suit for players to choose from, mm-hmm. with the antithesis to the Unicorn suit. The Unicorn suit will be your healer or shielder. And this one will be the debuffer, more or less, who can influence your enemies. And we have the first threat, which is the Direwolf, which was an old Eldritch tech that's no longer in use, but somehow popped up, and you don't know for what purpose.
Very cool. Well, I'm really excited. I mean, best of luck on this. This is a great product. And thank you so much for joining us, for staying up so late for this. You're going to stick around for Adventure Time in a little bit. Yes. Help us write a wild story. Great. Well, good. Well, then we'll see you in about 15 minutes, but it sounds like it is time to flip this over to Justin. So take it away.
All right. I am joined today by a fantastic artist who I've known Rebecca Hicks for about 38 years now. And well, we went to elementary school together. And no, Becky's a really good friend. Rebecca's a really good friend. And she's a fantastic artist. In fact, some of you will recognize her art. It is above me, where it says Owlbear Soup, and it's down in the corner, and it's underneath me. She is the creator of Chef Owlbear D. Welcome to the show, Rebecca. How's it going?
Hi!
I did forget to mention, she is also a fantastic streamer. She streams so much on Twitch. Everyone should definitely go check her out. It's twitch.tv/RebeccaHicksPrime, and Mix Pickles in there, shouting her out. So
what? Bring the pickles.
Yeah. So how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, considering just the world gestures broadly. Doing great. Really, really excited and nervous to be here and everything, because I really love streaming, but I still don't feel like I have any idea what I'm doing.
Your streams are fantastic.
Okay.
For folks who want to know, Rebecca draws on the streams, has trivia, lessons as well, because Rebecca happens to be a fantastic teacher who has changed the lives of many a folk. I've heard stories of some of her students, so
you make stuff up so good.
I'm real good at it. Mouth. I'm a marketer by profession.
Skills.
Oh man! So I brought you on today because we were just talking about cons, and a couple weeks ago we had Dickie Adams on to talk about being a volunteer at a con. A little bit before that, we had Dr. Jess Hebert on to talk about health and safety at a con. Rebecca is probably goes to more cons than anyone I know.
Too many.
I brought you on today to talk about, what does it mean to be a good con goer? And what I mean by this is if you are someone who is going to a con and you're there to see all your favorite people, what are some of those things that you can do to make sure that people like Rebecca, who I see at cons, and sometimes I'm at cons, like how do you make sure the people who are working the con, the people you're going to go see, how do you make sure they have a good time and you don't impede on their time as well?
It's, the very first convention I ever attended was a San Diego Comic-Con in 1994. So I was an attendee long before I became an exhibitor. One of the reasons I became a creator was so that I could have a table and a chair to sit at to eat lunch at conventions because, like, at San Diego Comic-Con, it just got so crowded that I had no place to eat lunch. So I was like, yeah, I'll just write and draw. That sounds easy. But I've been an attendee for ever since 1994. Oh, that was so long ago. So what I learned by being an attendee and then as an exhibitor, you know, so I've been on both sides of the table, is that it's really as easy as just being a good person, which I know is really hard, especially when you're secretly evil. I understand this on a personal level. But just start with, be considerate, you know, to yourself. Take care of yourself when you're a convention attendee. Make sure you're hydrated. You know, wear comfortable shoes so that you don't ask to put them under my table. That has been done. That's a whole thing. So be considerate of yourself. Be considerate of your fellow attendees. Goodness, that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And just respect people's boundaries. That's really, really huge. So just be a decent human. I mean, everywhere, please. So that's a good start. Be a decent human.
Yeah. What are some of the activities that you see happening at cons that, you know, maybe people don't notice are uncomfortable and I don't want to badmouth people, right? But sometimes, you know, you see people at cons and they're doing these things and they don't realize that they're doing these things, or they don't really understand what it's doing to the people around them. You know, and I can think of a few, but I'm sure you have a few as well.
I have done some of these things and then realized when I was on the other side of the table that it was like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Right? But yeah, there are, for me personally, and you know, I can only speak for myself, but I have heard this from a lot of fellow independent artists specifically. You know, that's my realm. That's my tiny little castle. And a lot of it has to do with boundaries, the stories, when we do tell stories, because we do trash talk. It helps us deal with the stress of conventions.
Yes.
Those stories usually involve just not being respectful of boundaries. So the booth invader is, even if I see you every year at a convention, this is hard for me to say because I know people need emotional validation. But we're not best friends. And I appreciate you as someone who enjoys my work, but you're not coming over to my house. We're not going to have a meal together. I have to establish some boundaries sometimes. Mm-hmm. So the big one at conventions specifically is, don't buy someone's art and then think you can go behind the table. That is a sacred space. Someone's booth it's a safe space for the creator. Like I said, there's a lot of social anxiety for a lot of us when it comes to conventions, and we need that space in our table to distance ourselves so that we can be on and make you feel good as someone who enjoys our work. But we need that space to be able to do that. It's like, that's where we collect our spoons.
Exactly.
So no, please don't ask to come sit behind the table because your feet are tired. I'm sorry your feet are tired, but there are other places you will need to go. That is not something that I can provide. So yeah, the booth invaders and then the booth barnacles. Oh, bless their hearts. That's a term, I believe, my memory serves, was created by webcomics creator Brad Geiger. And the booth barnacle is exactly what it sounds like. It's like a barnacle on the side of a ship, and they just stay at your booth and they talk to you for hours. And even if it's someone you know and love, it just takes all your energy. So don't be a booth invader. Don't be a booth barnacle. It's not like, I mean, I'm only speaking for myself. It's not like I just want you to come to my table and go, I love your art, and buy my art and go. So now that I say that out loud, that does sound pretty awesome sometimes. But still, just don't overstay your welcome. It's like when you've been invited to somebody's house, it's like, don't move in. Okay. It's like, eventually.
Yeah.
Other people want our time too.
So
consider to them.
Yeah. So let's flip this and reverse it.
Reverse it. Oh, don't make me do Missy Elliott. It would be such an insult to Missy Elliott. So sorry, Missy. So sorry. I love you.
What does a good guest to your table look like? Say I don't know you, and I'm walking up to your table. What is my ideal path? Like, oh my God, Rebecca Hicks is here. She has the littlest vampire stuff all over the place, and I love it. And I want to say hi, and I want to buy her stuff. What does that look like to you? What does the ideal fan customer look like to you?
Okay, I'm just gonna get this out of the way now because the funny Brooklyn part of me wants to say, you come to my booth, you throw money, you leave. That's like, yeah, just come to my booth and just go rain. No, I mean, for me, it's just like anyone else I interact with, whether at a convention or not. Just one, be yourself and be comfortable in yourself because you're awesome, unless you're an asshole. And if you are, I will let you know. Don't worry. I'm very nice to everybody except mean people.
Yeah.
So just one, be yourself. How would you introduce yourself to anybody? Say, hi, hi, I'm Rebecca Hicks. My pronouns are she, her. I really love your art, or I enjoyed your work online. And start mm-hmm. from there. And then just really read the room. If there's a lot of people in the booth, maybe come back later and we can have a little more time to talk, but not long enough to be a booth barnacle.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, but I don't need your entire life story. Okay?
Yeah.
Not your therapist. I'm just an artist. Okay? Not your mom. Just I can only provide so much emotional validation, folks. Okay. So yeah, I mean, like with you, Justin, I know that you and I have something in common in that, you know, we love to do this stuff for people, but we also need time to regather our spoons, as they say, and we can be introverted mm-hmm. at times. So, you know, start the way you're comfortable. If, like, if you came up to my table and say, hi, you know, my name is Justin and I really enjoy your art, that's enough to start. And then don't push yourself past the point where you're uncomfortable. You know, if you're mm-hmm. introverted or whatever, and you're not a big conversationalist, that's fine. Let me know if I'm not picking up on that. So really just be yourself, be honest, and be considerate, and shower me with cash. Ideal.
I will remember that next time I go to a con to shower you with cash.
Make it rain. Booths are not cheap, people. They're not cheap.
Yeah, and I mean that's another interesting thing to remember is that the folks who are boothing, 90% of them paid for that booth. and it's not cheap. And actually there's a good question in the chat about sanitized cash. I know this is a thing, and is sweaty money. Nobody wants your sweaty dollars.
yes, a certain song by Laser is coming to mind right now.
right? Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to tell this one real quick because it's funny. Yeah. I had this fabulous cosplayer come to my table once, and they were cross-playing Catwoman. So this just really good-looking young dude, dressed like the black tight leather goggles version of Catwoman, because she's had so many costumes. I love her. But anyway, this guy but the costume wasn't a full cat suit. It was booty shorts.
Yeah, booty shorts.
And there was nothing left to the imagination. So I appreciated that, but it was really, really skin tight, and he really liked my art, and he bought a piece, and I was like, where is the money going to come from? He reached up under the front of the pant leg, what little pant there was, and pulled out a $5 bill. And of course I made a face. I try not to. And he goes, oh, I've got a pocket under there. It's fine. But I'm still thinking what Abe Lincoln has seen cannot be unseen.
Right.
And that was, I did not mean to, but I was a little bit, when I took that. So that's always been a thing. But you know what? I have not gotten to the point where I can wrap my brain around that for the conventions that will hopefully be coming back in the fall, several of which, you know, I will be exhibiting at. When it comes to sanitized money, once again, be considerate. And just about all of us now are able to take credit cards. Thank you to companies like Square, who have made that an economic possibility for even the smallest of creators like myself. Credit cards were possible. If you have a cell phone, like an Apple Watch, any kind of contactless pay, right, is preferable. But we also know, you know, you got cash, you got cash. So as best as you can, sanitize it. But if someone has a sign in their booth, which I can totally see this happening, I may consider it myself. I don't want to have to get vaccinated, people. I don't want to have to. But if I have to put up a sign to, you know, protect my health and my husband's health that says we cannot accept cash, please respect any vendor that does that, because they're doing that for a good reason. And I know it sucks, but it sucks for everybody. So maybe don't be yelling at people that decide to do that. Please be understanding. But that is a good, thank you for bringing that up, because that's something that I should be discussing with my fellow indie artists about, you know what, in conventions, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Because, you know, it's a privilege to have the ability to pay with a credit card and to pay with a, you know, contactless payment with your phone or your watch. Not everyone has that privilege. So we have to take a lot of things into consideration. But yeah, cash is gross, but I still want a lot of it. So,
All right. Well, it's been fantastic chatting with you. We're going to get moving over to the next portion of our show. But first, I just want to make sure everyone in the chat can see it. But for those who can't, make sure to go to ko-fi.com. That's ko-fi.com/lunacystudios. And back Becky's I keep wanting to call it coffee.
I know, it's so confusing. I know. But Coffee Ko-Fi, my patron campaign there.
Yeah, exactly.
And Lunacy is spelled L-U-N-A. Here we go. I will type it.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, check the chat for that. And then also, make sure to follow Becky here on Twitch. She is Rebecca Hicks Prime, as you can see in the chat right there. And check out some of her streams. But here we go. Are we ready? I think if I did this right, everybody should be here now.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yay.
All right. Now I have to figure out how to fix what. Yeah, there we go.
Push all the right. button, Frank.
I know. I have to hide. I have to make sure we can see the subtitles, even though sometimes they're a little wonky.
I love that your stream has subtitles. We're going to talk about how I can get some on mine. That would be awesome. I'd love to increase my accessibility.
Thank you. It'll be even easier for you than it is for us.
Sweet. Yay.
Yeah. We tend to have a bunch of guests, so that makes it a little bit more challenging. All right. So, what I need to arrange everything so that I can see if I need to rainbow puke people.
Okay.
And here we go. So, welcome to the adventure writing portion of this our episode of Owlbear Soup, where we write an adventure together. This adventure does not have to be fantasy. It doesn't have to be D&D. It the only rules for this are, you know, it has to somewhat be a story, I guess. Wow. And the thing is our Chef Owlbear D is the one who's sending the adventurers out of the Exploration Society, which all of you in the audience can join by backing our Patreon. He sends Exploration Society members out. He sends them through portals, typically, to weird places to do weird things. And that is essentially our adventure writing. So we start with scene one. The party. The party is at Chef. And Chef sends them somewhere.
Right.
That's pretty much how these always start.
Okay. Yeah. I've been trying to think, like, just thinking about our interviews and what we talked about today, trying to come up with themes that really, like, speak to us this time. I don't know. Would Chef Albert D send us to a magical wasteland of some kind?
Yeah. All right. So the PCs.
Eldritch wasteland, should we say?
Magical eldritch wasteland.
Great.
For what? Why are they going there? There's got to be a reason Chef Albert D is sending folks to this wasteland, not just for a summer vacation. Why? Anybody in the audience? Why are they going? Or
Eldritch Coachella?
Oh, they're going to Coachella.
Oh my gosh. Okay, this
roll
is
the
good
chance in your hat.
So, all right. So Chef Albert D sends the players to the Eldritch Wasteland Lollapalooza, because I want to date myself.
Yes.
Because I think Lollapalooza is more fun than Coachella, because I'm old. All right, so there.
Okay,
you know, let's make this all big. Yeah. So, all right. So, why are they going to Lollapalooza? Are they catering? They're catering. Are they catering Lollapalooza?
I mean, okay. I feel like someone has to, and the chef can't really leave. You know, the society. Yeah. Who's gonna feed Lord Dom Zookington?
Right.
Also, it's probably a franchise right now. He's so famous. Oh, he's gonna expand.
Yeah. All right. So, so they are catering Lollapalooza. They are catering the green room.
Oh yeah.
And so, and ooh. What if this is a series of small encounters in which the PCs are gathering the ingredients for the meals of the celebrities?
They have to.
Oh, so yeah.
Oh, worry better. They have to serve all the booth barnacles coming over, and they have to shimmy them along because some of them want to stay in chat about the food. But the line is forming behind them.
Oh, and
they want all the cash.
Have line duties. All right. We have so much stuff. And they collect the cash. All right. We have some ideas here.
This is great.
We're going somewhere. Oh, I'm seeing a call for some rainbow puke. I have a lot going on. And the yeah. So for those of you who don't know what rainbow puke is, whenever somebody's camera goes funky, I have a button that's called rainbow puke, and it defunctifies it.
That's a good name.
Defunkifies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm using a program that was supposed to do that for me, but it's not. So I have to occasionally slap the rainbow puke button. All right. Behind the scenes. All right. So I think we have some interesting ideas here for it. All right. So they are going. Let's see. So they're going to Wasteland Palooza. They're catering Wasteland Lapooza, and it sounds like they're not doing the green room. They are serving the audience, maybe the VIPs, because VIPs are always annoying.
Fair.
Yeah.
I like that idea. I like that they're dealing with the line. They've got all sorts of food stuff that they have to do, of course. But you know, the duties of the Exploration Society and don't have to just focus on food. So maybe they have a couple different tasks they have to complete in there as part of their thing, right? They do have to feed the line. They do have to make sure the line moves. They do have to sort M&Ms, because some of us don't eat blue M&Ms because they're evil.
They have to make sure everybody pays in credit, not in cash.
Absolutely.
Nice, right? Clean credit.
So it's a tough job. It's a series of skills that they have to exhibit here.
Yeah.
I love this.
This sounds too much like my real life.
Okay, so let's say that it was your real life and you wanted something fantastic and amazing to happen to change everything. To mess with our interns here, what would it be? What's going to happen to ruin this event or change this event?
Oh, there's a good suggestion.
To be ruined, but changing the scene.
They are actually spying on specific VIPs.
Oh, okay.
This is from the chat. So they are actually there to spy on a certain VIP. Who is this certain VIP?
Okay. Hmm.
And why do we need to spy on them? What are they doing?
They're a bard of some kind, a very well-known, sure, popular bard. They might secretly be like a double agent bard for whatever factions are existing in this world at the time. And so we need to get some intel, find out what side they're on.
Nice.
With our super conversation skills. So
yeah, I love it.
That's the spying. Yeah. So,
yeah. So a well-known bard who we think, jumped in the wrong spot, who we think is a spy, and we want to uncover it and make sure they are on the side of the Exploration Society.
I like it.
Yes, I like it. And also someone mentioned that at some point they have to protect supplies from the interlopers.
Sabotage.
Right.
The bards are the beastly boys, because they're beasts of some kind. And the beastly boys, they're suspected. Yes, we suspect they might be doing sabotage.
Okay.
I'm also old, Justin. I know my old music.
The beastly boys are planning sabotage. All right.
But then we have to bring in our giant robot to make it sabotage, huh?
Oh.
It was the music video, right? No?
Let's make it intergalactic.
We need a giant intergalactic robot.
Oh, I love that you don't limit genres. Mwah.
Oh, yeah. Oh no, this is great. Okay, so are they gonna, like, is this gonna happen in the middle of the performance, like we've been spying and they head up on stage, and is that the moment when sabotage occurs, or are they gonna do it
most
before?
Disastrous
it would be. Yeah,
yes,
with the whole crowd
all
watching.
Right, so I think that might be the final scene, right? The final scene is after the so we already know how this is all gonna go, right? So after the spy lets the PCs know about the sabotage.
Yeah, the that scene is titled "I'm Telling All Y'all."
Yeah, the robot explodes out of the stage.
Scheming on a thing.
Of the stage, and the Beastly Boys jump inside, and you have to take it down.
Yeah, but they have to get the bodies moving off the audience.
Yeah. And they need the audience's help. The weakness of the robot is dance.
Ooh, okay. I like that. Okay, so if the audience dances, right, that's going to weaken this robot and allow the Beastly Boys to be defeated. I see.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's not going to kill the robot, but it's going to weaken it enough for the PCs to take it down.
Right, because it just sees the dance, and it just wants to dance as well. So some of its systems kind of are too focused, right?
Yeah.
Love it.
All right, so let's take a quick gander at what we have so far. The chef sends the PCs to the Eldritch Magical Wasteland to go to Eldritch Lollapalooza. They are there to find a specific spy VIP in the audience, or in the VIP area, by serving them food. And so some of the tasks they have to do to keep their cover is they have to feed people in the line and keep it moving and take credit cards and protect the supplies from people who are trying to grab them. When they find the spy, when they find and confront the spy, he tells them about the Beastly Boys.
right?
Yes.
And I think maybe in that moment when they're learning, they realize that they are being spied upon by a brass monkey. I see that funky monkey in the chat. And they're like, oh no, constructs everywhere.
By a brass monkey. That funky monkey.
So good. I just like that everything about this villain is just way too themed. I like that Joy. You know, even if the players don't see it, but even if like the things are named after these and the DM gets to read it all.
Right.
I love that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I like those little things. Right. You are welcome. You're very welcome.
Who wouldn't love a funky monkey? Even if you've never heard right. that like that song, who wouldn't love a funky monkey? Who wouldn't love right. a brass monkey? Monkeys.
All right. I have shot Rich, I tossed you over the link to this doc so that you can jump Perfect. In there. I have to step away for just a second, but the rest of you continue onward. I'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. I am in. Okay. This is great. So we've got the being spied upon by this monkey, right? I love this scene.
Because monkeys.
Oh, I guess I'm going to be writing down here. That's fine. Let's talk about that. Like, how is this this VIP that they meet? The VIP who is, I guess, a spy on our side who is going to tell us. Who are they? What's their whole deal about?
They're the queen, and they want to save Radio Gaga.
I see. What's going on here? Oh, it's working. It's everything's working. Great. Oh my goodness. All right. So sorry. Let's there's something happening and I can't fix it. Okay. Who's the VIP spy again? The queen. All right. It's great.
I like the idea of it's food related. I like the idea of it's the Dairy Queen. Maybe the Dairy Queen Bay. Dairy Queen Beyonce. Queen, just going with the music. Focus on theme.
Oh,
yeah, you know, it's the Queen.
I love that the Queen is the VIP spy. That's so good.
Right. So we've got whether this is going to be the Dairy Queen Beyonce, which I love. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah. It is absolutely going to be the Dairy Queen Beyonce.
I mean, yeah. Right. And so we need to make sure. I mean, that's good because that means the writer is very specific, right? We can't go serving the Dairy Queen Beyonce like a hamburger. No.
No. And it's lemonade for the drink, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need to figure out exactly what that is through our spying to get us through the door at all, because those guards aren't going to let us in to talk to Beyonce. Otherwise, I love it.
And and you have to make sure not to bring anything with lactose because she's lactose intolerant.
Which is ironic if she's a Dairy Queen.
Yep.
It's not fair.
That's how she'll know, right? That's the thing is you have to bring her like a shake, and if the milkshake, you know, that brings all the boys to the yard has dairy in it, she's just not going to accept it.
We need very specifically to build to make a non-dairy milkshake. Okay. Lemonade
flavor. Make a non-dairy milkshake.
Lemonade flavor. With a side of hot sauce.
Yeah, with a side of hot sauce. Done.
Okay. I like that we have that set already. Everybody needs to know what that is. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how we'll know. Or that's how the we'll know we have all the clues. Otherwise, Queen Bee's gonna know, right? Oh, no hot sauce. Yeah. These must be spies.
Right.
I'm gonna turn it away.
Okay. Beautiful. So let's see. So we get in. We start learning from Queen Bee that there are these beastly boys. They are gonna cause some havoc here, robot style. Which is good information for us to know because we need to go and stop that right now. They're on stage pretty soon, I would expect.
They're the headliners. They're about to go on stage.
You just say that someone else is headlining a show that Beyonce's at.
Oh, that's true. You're right. The Queen, the Dairy Queen Beyonce, is headlining, and the openers are going to be the Beastly Boys, and she's afraid that the Beastly Boys are going to ruin the audience and everything for her.
There we go. There we go. Okay. So so they chat, they get their quest. They see the brass monkey run off, getting lost in the crowd very quickly, maybe. Okay. What happens next? What gets us to the stage? Right. What's in the middle?
A crowd of people.
So I have borrowed from the chat, and I have thrown something in here. There is okay. a benevolent monk that's tending to the medical tent named Ayuk, who's master of martial arts as a new style.
Oh my gosh!
There we go.
DJ Regular, respect. That's
DJ Regular nailed it. That's great. Okay.
You are making with the free freak. That's incredible.
So I love, okay. So we got to get them to the medical tent. Here's my suggestion is that they are trying to get through this crowd, right? How do you get through a crowd? I mean, they're thick, they're packed, they're moshing. You can either mosh really well or crowd surf, but whichever one you choose, you're going to end up in the medical tent. It's just a matter of how cool you are along the way.
Right.
Like, are there any orcs in our party? That I can imagine orcs be really great at like moshing.
Yeah,
not even intentionally moshing, they just always mosh whether they want to be moshing or not.
The PCs, I'm also typing in here now apparently, the PCs can go through the orc mosh pit or crowd surf through the Goliaths. I don't know. Just trying to think of another like group. The Goliaths, they don't really like moshing, but they love carrying people over them. So you can join up there, and wherever it is, whatever you do.
But for the crowd surfing, you need this inflatable boat.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Because it's not crowd surfing, it's not on a flat boat.
I like it.
You end up at the med tent. You end up at the med tent. But bonus points if you find the inflatable boat to carry you across the sea of Goliaths. Goliaths? I don't know, dancing.
I love this. Because one of my favorite things to do is give people a task and just say, how do you accomplish this? So like, you know, you see the brass monkey running through the crowd, you need to get across it. What is your deal? Like, what are you going to do? You know, give people the options and just have them go. I like this because it could lead to, you know, I'm going to use, you know, prestidigitation or casts fireworks spells. You know, I'm going to start my own little rave as I'm going through here.
And,
yeah, right? I love that stuff. And somehow, yeah, at least someone should end up in the medical tents, I think, you know, because I like this idea that we have this monk who is going to help us out, tell us what to do, tell us how to find this monkey. This brass monkey, this funky monkey. You
know, brass monkeys blend. It's gonna be really hard to find.
In my mind, it's like one of those like with the
it's a little small.
Yeah. Yeah,
but it's a funky monkey, so it's dressed like Bootsy Collins. So it's like Bootsy Collins. It's just like just in the outfit with the clothes, Parliament Funkadelic style outfits. It's a very well dressed funky monkey.
That's great.
I can picture that, and that's horrible in my mind, but it's there it is.
Oh man. All right. This is amazing. Wow. All right. Well, I guess they've made it to the medical tent. So now what? So they've made it to the medical tent.
So now to get their weapon of choice.
Oh. Fatboy Slim. Pew!
What is their weapon of choice?
It could be Stop Hammer Time.
Okay. We could learn this. How to use Daft Punks, but they retired.
I love this space base here. Oh. The Thunderwave.
Thunderwave so type attack, yes.
Oh, or it could be the power of love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Most powerful weapon of all.
So right, so whatever happens, they get here to this tent, and this monk is going to tell them they have to find, you know, their perfect vehicle to get through. Every player must come up with their music based power attack, whatever it is,
yeah.
and use that to get to the stage as the concert begins. I mean, are we headed over there pretty quickly? Okay. If they've got that, I feel like they're successful as they approach the stage, right? And they start seeing the concert get going. They're moving. They're getting into it, and then robot attack should be coming pretty quick. Do you think the PCs should be able to stop robot attack from happening by like getting backstage before the concert, or is it just like
no
timing? We're moving. No.
I don't think so. I think we need that scene where the giant robot bursts out.
Yes.
Of the stage,
right? As the heroes crowd surf towards it on their inflatable boats.
Yeah.
Singing four different songs.
The five beastly boys all jump into smaller robots that then turn into one giant robot.
Robot.
Oh my gosh. Perfect.
And with enough checks, the PCs can get the audience dancing, which breaks up the giant robot.
Right.
Pew pew.
And makes it easier for the PCs to take on the beastly boys.
So it's going to be murder on the dance floor, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh no!
But don't panic.
We already went there. Sorry, we have to go full in now.
I like it. I like it.
Go all in. All in or nothing.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, no. All right, so murder on the dance floor.
I love that this scene is murder on the dance floor, and the epilogue is panic at the dinner. Don't panic at the disco. It's great. Trying to get everyone back to normal. Let's continue this. It's time for Queen Bee to get up here. Save the show.
All right. At some point, we got to represent country, and Dolly Parton's got to show up because she is a magical being. I could totally see her being some kind of powerful magic user.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So this mission is called Working. Ooh. 9-2-5
Wow. That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story of like adventurous service and then musical chaos.
Are these always like this, you guys? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no, okay. No, they are. Yeah.
I mean, when four people come together, you don't stop believing, right?
Right. No. Yeah.
So. Oh wow. This is great. This is so good.
Okay. So Panic at the Disco. Beyonce enters the stage with special guest. Guest Dolly Parton. And then for Don't Stop Believing, the PCs hop in the portal and head home.
Right. Getting the stamp of approval from all our VIPs.
Back to the Exploration Society.
Yeah. Wow. I love the idea of this giant robot at a music festival battle. That's a great scene.
It has some Scott Pilgrim reps, right?
Right. Yeah. It's the movie you could play in the background during a lot of this.
All right. Well, that's our adventure for this week. Make sure and follow Rebecca Hicks at Rebecca Hicks Prime right here on Twitch. Also, go check out her Ko-fi Which is attached to Lunar Sea Studios. And then, of course, Fabian, your... Florian, your Kickstarter is going right now.
Yep.
And I believe there are some links in the chat right now for people to go follow you all on Twitter, learn a little bit more about everyone. And for the folks who are watching this on YouTube, just a little reminder, go ahead and like and subscribe. Hit that little ringy-dingy button so that you know when we are live and when the new videos are up. Rebecca, Florian, anything else you guys want to say before we wrap this on up?
It was a pleasure.
Oh, good.
This is awesome. It's awesome to meet you, good. Florian, and your work's amazing. It's like you have a new fan and a friend.
And friendship is magic.
Friendship is magic.
I'm so glad you two could be here. This has been really, really fun. Thank you so much.
Oh man. So unfortunately, you guys missed the best comment ever about showering people with dirty, dirty cash. But thank you so much, everyone, for who joined us today. This will be on YouTube. Make sure to go to YouTube, subscribe to YouTube, follow us. Make sure to join the Patreon, become a member of the Exploration Society. Make sure to back Florian's Kickstarter. Make sure to go to ko-fi.com/LunaSeas Studio or Luna Sea Studios. And So Rich, is there anything people could be looking forward to you over the next few days?
You know, the thing is, I have a Kickstarter going right now. If you are not tired of Kickstarters yet, go ahead and check out the Academy of Adventures. I am starting up my Kickstarter for summer camp opportunities for kids to learn how to play D&D or play in new big adventures. And there are also pre-written adventures, family-friendly, specifically for new DMs. So if you don't have a kid who needs to head to summer camp, but you want a new adventure, you can check that out as well. That is, we'll put the link in there. That is the Academy of Adventures Summer Camp for 2021.
Perfect. And of course, you can always follow me on my own Twitch channel, DJ Pirate Rabbits, where I DJ music a few times a week. And sometimes we watch some movies. Sometimes we just dance. With that, I'll say go ahead and put the crock pot on warm. And we will see you next time.